Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
We'll put it up and out, and that will do it. The Los Angeles Sparks take down the Minnesota Lynx and are headed to the second round. As the Lynx are eliminated in the first round for the first time since 2004, and one of the all-time great winners, Lindsey Whalen, walks off the floor for a final time.
Looks like it's over. You knew I couldn't stay.
I've said this before. You know, this is a group that's done a lot together. You know, that's done an awful lot together. It gets harder and harder to be them. And I think we're seeing that. And I think you're seeing that, you know, in some cases, they're giving everything that they have. What's in their tank, they're giving everything that they have. And, you know, obviously right now, in the last couple games, it's not good enough.
It's going to be hard to get through it, but here we're going to try.
You've got to be kidding me.
Turn the other way.
Huh?
I don't want to see
you cry.
All this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Sorry, K-Fair.
Disease.
Obviously, as you said, to be able to come back here and play in my home state for this part of my career has been, I don't think, anything we could have imagined when you guys pulled the trigger on that trade, gave up a number one draft pick to bring me back here. So, I mean, I hope it's worked out. I feel like it has. I feel like it's gone fairly well.
Yeah, but
I'm pulling my tickets. I can't take this anymore.
We would have to say goodbye.
Bentley will fire. The clock will wind, and the Minnesota Lynx have taken back their title. Second time in 3 years, our champions of the WNBA.
Where you live by the dog, you die by the dog.
For the third time in 5 years, the Minnesota Lynx are WNBA champions. And they can finally celebrate on their home floor. 5 seconds. 3 seconds. No seconds. That's it. Title number 4 for the Minnesota Lynx dynasty comes with the taste of sweet redemption.
It comes with a taste of sweet redemption, a dynasty. and actually all good things must come to an end. I believe that was Plato who said that, or was it Plato? It was Confucius who once said, man who lives in glass house should change clothes in basement. It was the common man who once said, all good things must come to an end. And it's a result that we'll never forget, that we'd like to forget. What was the final score?
75-68?
Is that what it was? It's a result we'll never forget, Tenneby. What was the score again?
75-68.
75-68, and it's over. Nobody beats Mother Time.
No.
And as a matter of fact, Tenneby, I don't even really think we lost. We just ran out of time. If we could keep playing.
Sure.
We could have overcome the sparks. We only lost, what was the final score?
7 points. 75-68.
What if that game's another 5 minutes? 10 minutes. We cut the lead to two or three times, and we could just not get over the hump. We just could not get over the hump. And do you think, she'll probably never admit it, how bitter do you think Lindsey Whalen is? Didn't she want to retire last year and Reeve talked her into playing again? Is that the story or am I wrong?
I don't know how she got talked into it or not, but I know they had discussions about whether she was going to retire or not.
I don't like to use myself as an example or use myself as a comparison when talking about athletics.
Yeah. But
it's a pretty good athlete. I mean, football. Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. I was a fierce pass rushing, Rock of Gibraltar run-stopping defensive lineman, in a precise route running, sure-handed pass catching tight end. I played both sides of the football. I never left the field, ever. Played special teams, too. I was a gunner. They didn't call it gunner then. They just called it crazy guy. And playing boot hockey with some of the old school guys, with World's Boob, Jim Thorpe guy, Cleve. We played during the winter. We would rent ice time over at what's the rink in White Bear?
The smaller one?
I don't know. What's the rink over there?
Well, they're all playing indoor. Out of badness now, but yeah.
Indoor. What was it called? You're the hockey guy. You know the names of the rinks, don't you? I thought you'd know all the names. I know every name of every golf course. I'm the golf. You're the hockey ambassador.
Well, like I said, they now play out of the Venice Sports Center, but I also know that there is a smaller White Bear Lake rink, and then there's also one that's like two-thirds the size. That's what? Like in a...
Well, what are the names of those rinks, do you know?
Something Drome, Dome.
Sad, really. You could ask me any golf course in town, and I know the name of it.
What's more sad, you've actually played at this rink, and I never have.
Well, it's been a long... Well, because I've tried to purge it from my memory. That's the point I'm getting to. I know what Lindsey Whalen feels...
The Hippodrome?
No.
The WBSE White Bear Lake Sports Center?
That's not what it was called then.
Well, it's those two or else the Venice Heights Sports Center.
No, that's Venice not it Sports either. Well, then they've changed the name. So...
So the Hippodrome is more for, like, just skating, general now, skating.
Because I know what Lindsey Whalen feels like. My boot hockey skills have deteriorated. Much like Lindsey's basketball skills had deteriorated. Is that a cheap shot? Have her skills really deteriorated? I mean, they're not what they once were.
Well,
is that
she's not putting up the same stats.
Right, okay.
She wasn't starting there for a
And time. I think I talked about this before, Tim. It does happen overnight. That's such a cliche, but there's a reason cliches are cliches, because generally speaking, they're true. By the way, I'm the first person to ever say that. On these airways. And you just, your reflexes, it's like a fighter where your reflexes are just shot. You get to a certain point, you can't beat Father Time anymore. You see the punches coming. You know they're coming, but you can't get out of the way of them anymore. And it's the same thing with goaltending, and it happened from one season to the next. I left the one boot hockey season, one of the best boot hockey goalies, not only in the Twin Cities, not only the seven-county metro, probably the whole entire upper Midwest. The next season, it was gone. It was over. It was sad eyes. I didn't have the reflexes. I knew where they were going with the tennis ball, but I couldn't move over there quick enough. And the season's dragging on, and I'm playing awful, and I'm a sieve. I'm about as effective as a screen door on a submarine, right? And it's a Tuesday night, Thursday night, regardless of what night it is, I have an awful game, and I'm mad. And I tell my teammates, I'm playing this one last game, and then I'm done. I'm never playing donezo. Again. I'm donezo. I climb between the pipes knowing it's my last game, and I turn back time. I am, if I don't mind saying so myself.
You were share-alike.
If I don't mind saying so myself, and I don't, I was brilliant. I was standing on my head. They could not score on me. We played to 10. I've got like an 8-2 lead. It's probably my greatest boot hockey performance ever. And then I gave up 3 or 4 goals, but we hung on to win. I think we won like 10-7. And that was it. I said, I'm done. I'm going out on top. That's it for me. I'm never going to play another boot hockey game again. I was convinced. And guess what? They convinced me to come back for another game another time. And I was awful. And we got shelled. And I've held it against my teammates ever since. Because they should have let me go on top. They should have let me go out on top. Just like they should have let Lindsay go out on top. Now, what is her last taste in a pro basketball game? Getting beat in the first round by the LA Sparks.
Six seed versus 7 seed.
What an awful taste in your mouth. When she could have left. Was game 7 last year at?
Game 5.
At the barn? Where did they play the game? Was it home?
Yeah, I think so.
To leave the barn. Because they played at the barn, didn't they? Wasn't there some bitterness that they were at the barn?
Yes.
They won at the barn. Where she had had all those great moments as a collegiate player. It couldn't have been any better. And then they convince her to come back, and then they lose.
Storybook ending.
Storybook ending. Cinderella story, Cinderella kid, hometown heroine makes good. And then what do? Oh, why don't you come back and play again? And then you end your career like that. Sad, really. So I know what Lindsay feels like. To be the king of the hill, top of the heap, A number one. And then suddenly, they just pull the rug right up from under you.
What's the best golf score you've ever put up?
68.
Tomorrow you shot a 67. Would you
go out
on top?
I thought of it.
Or would you come back the next day?
I thought of it. I've thought about the next time I shoot even par or better to just say, that's it, I'm donezo, to go out on top. But I'm addicted. You may as well face it, you're addicted to golf.
I always loved that.
I think that was a song by, was that Arnold Palmer?
Yes, Arnold Palmer.
So, there's that. I had a great tease for the next segment. You're going to love it. I'll save it for the one after that because we're going to do a little boxing talk now. Big card at the Armory, the second major boxing card, nationally televised. I think it's a couple 13, 14 bouts, believe it or not. Al Haymon, Floyd Mayweather's promoter, he's putting on the card, along with Tony Grigelko is helping a little bit. Rob Lear over at the Armory. It's going to be my first taste of the Armory. I'll be doing the ring announcing for the non-TV fights. I'm not good enough to do TV anymore. To NBA, I've lost it as a ring announcer. There was a time I did Showtime boxing. I did CBS Sports boxing. I did ESPN ring announcing. I was like, yeah, we'll let you ring announce, but not when the TV cameras are on. But I'll be there, but we're going to talk to welterweight contender Jamal James. He's next. Common Man Program fans.
This is the number one sports talk show in the upper Midwest. With an asterisk. The Common Man, Dan Cole, on The Fan.
You're listening to The Fan.
Lunchtime hour of the Common Man program is brought to you by Carboni's Pizza.
Couple 13, 14 passed on the Grum. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. He's 10-B. Welcome, world welterweight contender, Jamal James, into the conversation. Jamal, my boy, how are you? Jamal, you there? Hello?
He's gone. I'll call him back.
I hope he didn't get knocked out. Maybe it was the Rocky music. He said, this is too cliched for me. We probably should have asked him, what's his walk-up music?
I was going to play a Cher if I could turn back time. I'm like, that doesn't really fit coming into a boxing guest.
No, it really doesn't. You could have asked him what his... They all have music they want to come into. We'll ask Jamal James now. Jamal, how are you, me boy?
I'm good. How's it going?
It's going well, very much. When you come into the ring, what song do you play when you come in? Do you have one selected, or do you let them play anything they want?
You know, I kind of go I got an old soul, so I got some old flavor, man. I usually got some James Brown kicking or something of that nature.
Good.
You know, something up-tempo, upbeat.
Sure. So James Brown, upbeat, up-tempo, will be kicking out on Friday. You are the main event at the Armory. You broke the Armory in, right? You were part of that very first boxing card main event, correct?
Yes, sir. I was the one that was honored to be able to main event it last time. It was a great turnout. Had great fights out there. I'm about to do it again, man, even bigger.
Yeah, you scored a big victory. I think it was a split decision victory in your first in that fight. And that really, I mean, you were already obviously noticed nationally by the people that are in the fight game. But that fight really kind of put you on the map, where you really opened some eyes and said, hey, this kid can fight. And, you know, I don't know if you have any guarantees, and I don't know if you're even at liberty to tell us one way or the other, but I would think an impressive win here, you'll probably be in line for a world title shot sometime soon.
Hey, man, that's the plan, man. That's the plan. We've been grinding hard, and it's only a matter of time, and we're very close to that time. You know what I mean? I'm ranked third in the WBA rankings, so, you know, eventually somebody's going to have to give me that opportunity.
Yeah, well,
as long as I keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, eventually, if he gets to be the number one contender, then there'll be somebody in the WBA, whoever the champ is, will have to give you a mandatory. How's training going? I mean, you've done this long enough now. You've been out of the circle of discipline, one of the more well-known boxing clubs in town. So you've gotten ready for a lot of pro fights. How did camp go for the coming up for this fight?
Oh man, camp went excellent. Hard as usual. You know what I'm saying? We got a nice little place way up north, so we get out of the city for a while, really zone in, really focus, and it was good, man. I'm feeling stronger than before, more focused than before, and I just really want to go out here and show not only Minnesota but the nation and the world what I can do, and I want to let them know that I need that opportunity. I need that title shot opportunity.
Your opponent is how do you say his name?
His last name is Montez. Right. I don't want to mess up his first name. I think it's Mahonery.
Yeah, Mahonery. You might not want to mess up his name, but you want to mess him up come Friday night. Would
That's
be my
right.
guess. Yeah. What do you know about him? He's got a nice record. It sounds. I mean, he's a world class fighter. As far would you consider this probably your toughest opponent to date?
You know, I won't know until I get in the ring with him. You know what I mean? They said Chavez was going to be one of my toughest opponents, and I was kind of coming in as an underdog, and I was able to get him out of there in the third, you know? So you really don't know until you get in there with somebody, what type of character and what type of will they have. I think that he's definitely going to come to fight, you know, anytime, I said it before, anytime you fight somebody in your hometown, usually that person is coming to fight, otherwise they wouldn't have took the fight, you know what I mean? And they're going to try to embarrass you, and they're going to try to take that that ranking from you.
Do you have a scouting report on him? I mean, did you watch some film? Have you and your team, you know what to expect from this guy? Does he have a certain style? Does he like to come at you? Is he a counterpuncher? Does he stick and move? Has he got some heavy hands? Can he punch? What kind of opponent is he?
Yeah, he's one of those guys where he's coming, you know. He's a pressure fighter, but a lot of the guys that I box against and fight against are pressure fighters because I'm one of the tallest welterweights in my division, you know. So you have to be able to push the fight in order to get inside with me. So I'm not even really worried about that. A little bit of a counterpuncher, but I feel like I have way better technique, better speed, and definitely a stronger will, and we're gonna put them to the test Friday night.
Well, being a taller, lankier welterweight like you are, the jab's important to keep a guy like that at bay. And I've noticed over your fights, your jab seems to be getting better and better. Are you happy with your jab? I mean, I think it's a really good punch.
Oh yeah, yes sir, yes sir. And I'm always working on it. You know what I mean? I wanted that thing to be perfect. I'm striving for perfection when it comes to the jab along with the other punches, you know what I mean? So we always working, but you're exactly right. The jab, man, is one of the most important punches. And when you watch older fights to fighters now, you know, I feel like they use their jabs a lot more than some of the fighters do nowadays.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I know you know this because you're taller and you've got guys coming at you. You got to stay patient. You know, it's in I play a lot of golf, as you know, and in golf, one of the key words is stay patient. I think the same can be said in the fight game too. You got to stay patient. It can be a chess match out there against your opponent. It's not just let's go out there and throw leather as hard as we can for 3 minutes around and see who knocks who out. That's a recipe for disaster. So you know, my guess is you got a game plan there, and you know exactly what you're going to do.
Exactly right, man. You're exactly right. We got 10 rounds to go. So, like you said, it's a chess match. So you got some time to, you know, mess with him, fill him out, you know what I'm saying, to figure out his timing. And you know, we got our game plan set, so we're going to go out there and do it. And if we got to adjust something, then we're able to adjust it right there in the fight. It's going to be good.
You got a good head on your shoulder, so keep it there, okay? Protect yourself at all times and put up your dukes on Friday night. I look forward to seeing you in the squared circle on Friday night, and good luck to you, Jamal.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Jamal James, Shango. Very impressive. 23-1 record with 10 knockouts, ranked third in the WBA and 11th by the World Boxing Council. He'll headline the card at the Armory. Tenneby, have you been to the Armory yet? Everybody that goes
never.
There for boxing or just a music show says it is indeed the best...
venue?
Best, that's the word I'm looking for. Best venue in town. I'm looking forward to seeing it. That's Friday night. I'll be talking to you from there Friday night during the Vikings pregame show because I will be at the fight.
Oh, really?
Because, well, the Vikings game is Friday, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, and so is the fight card. So I'll be there. You'll be back here as Master Control Supervisor, but I'll talk to you then. But there you go. And guess what? Old friend of the show, Caleb Truex, Golden Caleb Truex, also on the card. He'll join us later on the show as well. Tenneby, when is 7 a 4? I'll explain when we return to the Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
There is now a level 0.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Visit the KFM booth at the Minnesota State Fair to see the 2018 Honda Accord LX up close and in person, and register for your chance to win the brand new Honda Accord LX. Thanks to our friends at the Greater Twin Cities Honda dealers. More information at KFM.com.
Long version. See, on Top 40 Radio, they wouldn't play this intro. They would start it right here. Talked about that on the BTO show. Gosh, I bet it all yesterday. I don't know how that went. It was a Let It Ride. I already had this in my top 100. I know.
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, I knew that. Where do you think, and my top 100 is not complete yet, but how lofty of a ranking do you think this will get from me?
Well, that's what I can't wait with you, because you're just trying to get to 100 songs, but then once you get there, you have to rank them from 1 to 100, which will take another 2 years, probably.
Let's just say this will be very lofty. And you might not think so, because you might think, well, you know, Common's a, you know, go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall kind of a guy, right?
You're always tapping your toes when this one comes on, right, though.
But I mean, you know, I'm a hard rock, drug influence, let me take you down because I'm going to Strawberry Fields, I Am the Walrus, She's Not a Girl Who Misses Much. So you would think, well, this is a little poppy for you, isn't it, Common? I mean, it is, but it's still one of my favorites.
Oh, it's outstanding.
It's going to have a very lofty place in my rankings. Do you know, buddy, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but do you have any idea how much ended up, the Vikings Bears trip ended up going for yesterday? Do you know what the grand total was?
I don't.
When we left, it was like $2,000, I think.
Yes.
It was auctioned off for proceeds going to the YMCA, Greater Twin Cities YMCA. It was a Vikings Bears road trip for two, a couple of tickets to the game, two night stay at the team hotel, hang with Greg Coleman and other Viking legends. And that game is set for November 18th. When we got on the air, I think it was up to $1,700. When we left, it was $2,000.
So no, we had it up to $2,300.
$2,300 did. Okay.
Yep.
So it got to $2,300. So that was the minimum. And my guess is during the
usually at the end, I'm guessing it gets jacked up.
Yeah, during the Cake Eater show. Right. Because that's like at silent auctions. At,
yeah.
At tournaments you go to, people wait till the last second, then they run up
there
real quick.
They lay in the weeds, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, good. So I hope we raised a lot of money for the YMCA. And that's a pretty darn good package to go hang at the Viking Hotel. A little of this, a little of that, emphasis lat. The update, is this the correct update on the Richie Cognito story? This is what I've been told. Remember, he went to a funeral home where his father's body was laying in, what's the proper term you use? It was laying horizontally. I mean, I know that.
Yeah.
I don't think they had him propped up. And he went to go see his dad, and he threatened funeral parlor people. The police came and arrested him. I'm being told that he demanded the severed head of his father because he wanted to have it sent in for research. And that's why they...
Really?
That's what I'm told. That's the story. Now, maybe someone's making that up. Maybe that's one of those, what do they call it, trolling on Twitter. But I have seen a number of emails to booth@kfan.com that say that was the issue. He was demanding they cut off his father's head for study.
The father requests?
I would think. I mean, I don't know if a family member can
I'm guessing
just,
that would be documented somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if a family member can go in and demand... You know, there's the deceased. Everyone's sad. You know, funeral parlor is very, you know, they're very good at comforting the grief stricken. And you go, I'd like you to lop off my dad's head so I can send it in to see what, you know, to see if he had I don't know. Does he think his dad had CTE? Does he think his dad had a computer chip implanted by the government? I don't know. And I think probably the funeral parlor said, well, we really can't oblige you there. And that's when he got mad and said, I got guns. I got 10s and 20s. Let's fight. I don't know. So, but that's the latest.
That's bizarre.
That's the latest. Well, it's Richie Incognito
for you.
It's a great Bill Bauer bit there. I'm not going to do it, though. Some people would think it's in poor taste. He has an entire funeral bit. And it gets dark.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it for another time. Tenneby, well, let me take a quick phone call here because Phil's been waiting for over 30 minutes. Phil, I wouldn't wait 30 minutes for a heart transplant. What brings you to the Grum?
No, just out here on Loggers Trail playing with the boys.
You're out at Loggers. What hole are you on right now?
We're on 10.
10, beautiful par 5, uphill with the big horseshoe green. Fronted by a bunker in front.
Right.
Yeah. How'd you play on the back, or are you starting on the back? How'd you play on the front?
No, we're starting on the back today.
Oh, so this is it? Where are you sitting on 10?
I'm on second shot, about I don't know, maybe 230, 240 out.
Okay. What are you going to hit for your second shot on 18? So what brings you to the Grum?
No, I was just calling to see if you golfed it today.
Not on Loggers today. No, I played out at Prestwick at Wedgewood and Woodbury. Which is the story I'm about to get to. Phil, good luck to you. Call us at the turn so you can update us on how you're doing.
All right, we'll do.
Call me after 9. Thanks, appreciate that. So we'll get an update on Phil's round. Hit the on.
Biggest sports story of the day right there.
Hit the on, though. We'll get Phil's update at the turn.
Oh, boy.
That leads to when is a 7 of 4? I'm playing at Prestwick and Wedgewood in Woodbury today with Joe from Wells Fargo.
What did you shoot today?
80.
Where'd we play?
Prestwick at Wedgewood and Woodbury.
Where'd you hit it on 1?
And that's where the story begins and ends. I actually this is going to shock you, Timothy. I blocked mine right.
Huh?
What?
I blocked my opening tee shot right.
I've never seen you miss that fairway.
I never missed that fairway. I blocked it. I'm stunned. And I told him, where do you think I'm going to hit it on one? Maybe because I got a little cocky. And I blocked it right. I said, well, I'm going to hit a second one. I hit a second one. Where do you think that one went?
Left.
Right up the gut.
Huh.
So I'm right in the middle. And I go down. I say, you know, if this one isn't in a bad spot, I'll play it. Well, I get down there. It's going to be one of those. And I'm going to have to just advance it. And then, you know, it's like, everybody plays a breakfast ball. So I'll play a breakfast ball, right? So I play my one in the middle of the fairway. I knock it on the green, right? I've got 20-ish feet for birdie, right? And I hit it, and it veers off left. Goes about 4 feet by. And as I putt it, I miss it left. Creases the edge for a five.
Huh?
Playing partner goes, you didn't hit any practice putts. You don't know the speed of the green. I'm giving you that one.
Huh?
So meant that I got a four. But in reality, I got a seven because I hit two off the tee. So that'd be one, back on the tee and two, in the middle in the three, on the green and four, and then a three putt. So that's when seven is four when you're playing with a very gracious playing partner. So really, ask me the Dark Star question from earlier today.
What did you shoot today?
83.
Where'd we play?
At Prestwick at Wedgwood in Woodbury.
Where'd you hit it on one?
Blocked it right.
Second shot?
I re-teed, which was actually my third shot, but my
then
second
what?
I knocked it in the middle of the fairway.
How far from the green were you?
I had a 8-iron in my hand.
Then what?
Knocked it on the green.
Then what?
Three-putted.
Well, there's that.
So that's a seven.
But I don't know if you can count it a seven, though, because it's not like the first tee shot went out of bounds.
Oh, but you can re-tee anything. You can call unplayable anytime you want.
Sure.
You can hit it in the middle of the fairway and say, that's unplayable.
But if you hadn't had the breakfast ball rule, you would have hit that ball and it would have completely changed the course of your hole. So
I may have made an eight from where I was over in the trees. So you're right.
It's not possible to make an eight on that hole, is it?
Well,
unless you put it in the water somehow on the left.
Have you ever played with Bill Bates' guy? I'm just kidding.
Even I've never had an eight there.
Yeah. And that's surprising.
Yeah.
That's really surprising. So, after that hole, I played pretty well today. I had another triple. I mean, think about it. If you give me what Joe gave me on the first hole, which is a four, and I'll take it, I don't care. I shot 80 with a triple. I tripled 50, and I birdied 18. And it's a showdown today. Meat Sauce, Common, and Doc Donaldson today. And I think Doc Donaldson's old man might be joining us too. So, but yeah. So when a four is really a seven, that's kind of that. Did I see Tennessee a? No, that's the wrong way to say it. Tennessee. Did I see a tweet from Fish Wrap West Side? Is it Thomason?
He's on the east side.
Did somebody send? I saw here Booth at KFAN.com. A tweet that says, the Viking secondary just got better.
Yes.
I missed something when I was on the golf course?
Yes.
Did Deion Sanders come out of retirement?
No.
Is Paul Kraus still bitter with Terrell Owens?
No.
What did we do to make our secondary better?
We signed George Ikola, who was a safety for the Bungles, who Zimmer has some familiarity with him. He was cut as a cap casualty in camp of Cincinnati. So now, apparently the Vikings wanted him two off seasons ago, but he got a little expensive.
Really?
So they flirted with him a couple years ago, and now him and Zimmer get reunited.
Because I saw when he said George, like Eichelon, and I thought it was the former Edina hockey coach. And I was thinking, well, how does that make our secondary better? And I'm thinking, well, is it a relative of the Houndstooth? What was Eichelon's first name, the coach, the guy with the Houndstooth hat?
Willard.
I thought maybe it's a relative of Willard Eichelon, but it's not. They're not related as far as you know.
The K and the L are in different spots.
Oh, they are. Do we know? Do we have any indication? He's just cap casualty? He still has something left?
As far as we know.
Yeah.
Clearly not enough for the salary he was making.
I've got something controversial for you.
That's interesting.
I don't even think it's controversial. I think you might agree with me here. With the addition of Eichel, if he still has anything left, I would say the Vikings might have the best secondary they've ever had in the history of the franchise, which is saying a lot because they've had a lot of good defensive bridges. I think they have the best secondary they've ever had in the history of the franchise. I also think they have the worst offensive line they've had in the history of the franchise.
That's saying something as well.
Yeah, it is. Is there any way that the secondary can also block? I suggested Meat Sauce as an offensive lineman because nobody's blocked more people in the history of Twitter.
That one.
Right? If he can block on pass rushing defensive lineman as well as he blocks people on Twitter, he'd be an all pro.
Have you seen video of him blocking, playing offensive line for Minnetonka back in his high school days?
He played football?
A few plays.
How is that possible? He just recently started learned to walk upright and eat with a fork.
Well,
how was he able to block?
He was a little hefty back then, so he's a big boy.
Lucky.
Let's face it, on the offensive line, it's what you're looking for quite often. So I've seen a few like highlight video plays. Oh, that's pretty funny.
Turnstile-like?
It looks like he's not trying.
Yeah, no.
He puts about the same amount of effort as he does in his radio show.
It's funny you should say, well, I saw a story. Think about this. I saw it on my handheld computer, and I saved it, and I'm not even sure why. But then it dawned on me just now to why I saved it, because it fits in perfectly with what you're talking about. It says, new research suggests evolution might favor survival of the laziest, which means meat sauce will outlive all of us, right? That was the joke. That's why I saved the story for that one
line. I can't wait to hear
line.
That story.
Let's take a quick call before we break from retired crime fighter guy. Retired.
How you doing, my friend?
You know, I got a daytime job. I'm doing eight. How about you?
How's the best man on the radio today?
You know the best man on the radio, Tenneby, how are you today?
Outstanding.
He's doing great. Hey. I'm feeling pretty chipper myself, me boy. State Fair is right around the corner. It's my favorite 7 broadcast days of the year when we're out at the State Fair, verbally slapping people on the back. They're touching the hem of the common man's garment. All the damsels in distress are surrounding the common man, looking for the switch that doesn't exist. It's so much fun.
You're a good man.
Thank you.
Just to kind of give you an idea, I'm the guy that orchestrated your little your recent event with the boys in blue there. In your own fair city.
Oh yes, correct. When my act went over like a lead balloon.
No, it didn't. They're still talking about it, and as a matter of fact, and I'm hoping to get the pop pop of the drums here.
Okay.
You know, when I realized from Fran that they actually booked you, Meat Sauce, and the Chris Hockey Band, I figured, hey, either you guys come really cheap, or they're the union's doing good.
Hold on a second.
I always love that one.
I would say emphasis on the lat. We do work fairly cheap.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, can I get an emergency moniker change?
Are you no longer a retired crime fighter guy? Are you coming out of retirement? Or?
I'm not coming out of retirement. I just got to move on with my life, and I'd like to be the firearms training guy.
Firearms training guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You got to move on with your life. You're retired. You can't hang on to that moniker. You have to move on eventually. Was it tough retiring? Was it what did you want?
It wasn't on my terms. I kind of got injured on duty there in your fair city and had the medical out, which is just a shame
because
I loved it. I loved it. But I got to tell you, before I hang up, you're going to get after that performance. You're going to get more extra patrol than anybody's ever gotten in history.
Well, thank you. I'll need the protect. Can you put me on the witness protection program? I think there's still people that want to throw tomatoes at me.
No, the only thing that left the evening incomplete is they'd really like to run Meat Sauce up to Stillwater, get them booked in and printed.
We were looking forward to that as well. Thanks so much, firearms training guy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate that. By the way, now that means retired crime fighter guy, the moniker's open.
It is. It's available.
Well, Do we still have the rule where he has 30 days
to decide? Period?
He has 30 days to decide if he wants to become retired.
Because you can return your current moniker, right?
So, but if he wants to change it, if he wants to change it back, he's got 30 days to do. If not, in 30 days, somebody else can be a retired crime fighter guy. When you get a moniker, you get a certificate of moniker authenticity. You get a common man lunch pail, and you get a common man action figure. This month's action figure is Meat Sauce as a high school offensive lineman. And, of course, it just spins around on one leg like a whirling dervish.
Well, the feet keep tripping over each other.
The feet keep tripping over each other, and it looks like he's hardly trying. When we come back, it'll be time for 5-3-4.
Target Field will experience something that's never been done in Minnesota.
The Common Man.
Surprised me none that he brought the first bit back to him and then did the second bit starting off talking about him.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
The amount of heating and air conditioning weather forecast. A gorgeous day today. Partly cloudy skies. High should be in the mid-70s. Tonight, low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunny mid-70s. I have no idea if that's the proper forecast. It's quite frankly, meteorologists really can't predict a day ahead of time. Why can I? Right now, 72 degrees. 1972 Thunder Island, Jay Ferguson. You're home for the hits. We call it FM 100.3. A fan. Tenby, how would you like to spend an afternoon with the common man on the radio or laughing and hiding, chasing love on Thunder Island?
Gee, let me think.
Yeah. I'm with you. I can't argue with you there. It's time for 5-3-4 now.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number 1.
We're gonna win, twins, we're gonna score.
It's now time to delve deep into Twins territory.
Cheer for the Minnesota Twins today.
Twins have announced their 2019 schedule today, and due to the Final Four coming to Minneapolis next April, that schedule includes the first ever outdoor games ever played in March in Minnesota. Opening day will be March 28th at Target Field Common. What will be the game time temperature on opening day, and will fans complain about it?
Oh, what day is opening day?
March 28th at Target Field.
The weather's so unpredictable nowadays, it could be 75 and sunny that day. My guess is it won't be. I don't know what the fans will complain. I mean, they'll sell it out. You know how people are. It's tradition. It's the old, you know what I call it, Tenby? I call it Fablo. You know what Fablo is?
What's that?
Fear of being left out.
Yeah.
So even if it was miserable, let's say it's flurries, 28 degrees for a high, people will still show up because it's the opener. It's tradition. I'll just get drunk. They'll get there and they'll cancel the game and that'll be it.
Plus, it's something they can put on their Instagram accounts.
Right. They can,
so they can take pictures and selfies of them at the game, and then it looks like they're having fun and
they can
making everyone believe they have a great life.
They can snap and Insta. Yeah. I saw a story on that on my handheld computer. I'm not sure if I, because it's one of those that's, I don't know how interesting it is to the listener. It's a bit convoluted, but it was talking about how, because social media, there are people that just live for it. Just social media. They can't get off Twitter. They live on Twitter. There are people in this building that I know that live on Twitter, basically. You're close.
No, I spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't. But
and then people live on Insta. And on Face Off and Snapbook. And so I'm glad I don't. And again, if you'd like that, that's fine. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm smarter than you or better than you. It does nothing for us. It's The gist of the story was that these people are, you know, they're always taking pictures of themselves doing something fun and yes. enjoyable and happy. And in a lot of cases, they're just covering up because their life doesn't consist of all. There's real life stuff that they're not showing Billy's report cards with C's and D's and F's. And they're not showing
bad marriage
or yeah. their credit rating has fallen in the tank.
Sure.
And I understand why they don't show those things, but they're trying to.
But the amount of depression in general has increased a lot in this country, and I think that's a big reason for it, because you see how other people are living via social media, and you think they have these perfect lives that you don't have.
You are correct. It's sad, really. What was your question?
I didn't expect that to be the direction of my question.
What was it?
Twins, March 28th, they play Cleveland outdoors. First time ever a March outdoor game in Minnesota.
People won't complain about it on Snapchat, but they'll be depressed.
You know what they'll say?
What?
Cold air, we don't care.
Yeah, it's...
Bold North.
It does, it's sad, really. I will never understand why they would schedule a game that early.
Twins won last night because the White Sox disrespected Eddie Rosario by intentionally walking Joe Mauer, so Rosario puts in the game-winning, eventual game-winning run. Twins win. That means today you can go to PapaJohns.com, put in the online promo code TWINSWIN, and you'll get 50% off a larger, extra-large pizza.
Question number two. It's time now for a look at the Lynx.
The Lynx season and maybe dynasty is over after losing the Sparks 75-68 last night in Los Angeles. Of course, Lindsey Whalen's career is over. 36-year-old Rebecca Brunson's career might be over. Her return could be questionable after she missed the final seven games because of a hairline nasal fracture and a concussion. Common, my question would be, do the Lynx need to rebuild or reload this offseason?
The teams, the Lynx's figurative body of the team is laying in repose. That's what a dead body
repose.
Does. They lie in repose just before they're repossessed.
Are you talking about the Lynx season?
Yeah. Could you look up repose and make sure these emailers are correct? R-E-P-O-S-E. Well, I mean, do they have any Ute on the team at all, or is it all aging veterans?
I mean, Maya Moore is still probably prime.
Well, how many teams
repose.
Are in the...
Repose.
The state of reposing or being at rest.
Yeah.
Sleep, peace, tranquility, calm.
When you're dead, you're tranquil. And then eventually, rigor mortis... sets in. Well, how many teams are there in the WNBA?
12.
See, do you really like, well, we got to take some time to rebuild. There's only 11 other teams you got to play against. And that means how many young players coming out of college can just jump right in and play first year better than some of our aging players? I think you refurbish. I think you reload a little bit. I mean, I don't think you have to go, well, that's it. Let's let all of our older players go. I think you can rebuild on the fly. I would say that this team just needs a few tweaks, much like the Wasps. I just think some tweaks. I wouldn't want to see them. I mean, you know more about the roster than I do, I think. I don't see a reason to like completely rebuild, but
because you have Maya Moore and she's still at an age where you can get some good years out of her, you got to reload more so than
rebuild. Yeah, that's what I would do, absolutely.
But given where they're drafting, that's a little pesky, so you got to, I don't know what's available in free agency or via trades, but you probably have to go that route.
Question number three.
Go Vikings, let's win this game.
It's now time to take an in-depth look at the state of the school.
Vikings offensive coordinator John DeFilippo pointed the finger at himself regarding last Saturday's preseason loss to Jacksonville and vows to call a better game against Seattle on Friday night. Common, do you think Flip called a poor game against the Jaguars, or is he just taking the blame for his players?
He's taking the blame for the players. Cousins is receiving heat, at least what I've seen. I mean, I don't think people are going, well, he needs to be cut. We've made an awful mistake. You know, $84 million, question mark, guaranteed, question mark. I don't see much of that. But those that think it was the offensive line was why Cousins didn't look good. That had nothing to do with it. He wasn't, at least in the, I watched the first quarter. I don't ever remember him being under real duress.
No.
He missed open receivers. He made poor throws. I'm sorry, he did. Now, again, I
don't think he had a lot of open receivers.
That's true, too. So I would blame. So
I think he had to throw into tight windows a lot. Now, he wasn't as accurate as he could be, but.
Threw into a tight window in game one to Diggs. Threw into that tight window that for a touchdown.
That was outstanding.
Okay, then.
Yeah. He threw him open.
Throw into some more tight windows then. So I think it's the coordinator. I don't mind that. He's being the fall guy. He's taking Chris Carter's advice. He's his own fall guy for his offensive woeful inadequacy.
I just think it's funny that he's blaming himself for play calling in the second preseason game. I don't want you to call anything that.
Yeah.
You should be doing a vanilla play calling.
And it is
so
vanilla.
I don't care what you
and
call
it. And it is vanilla, and that's the other silly part about it. You're really not trying to, I don't think, trying to.
We're not trying to out-scheme them, right?
I don't think. You're just trying to run plays. Yeah. So I think it's, I think it's preposterous. But if it makes them feel better.
Question number three.
It makes the team feel better. More power to them.
Time now for the A section question.
Donald Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to campaign finance violations that he said were carried out in coordination with President Trump. Cohen's admission to the crimes came at nearly the same moment that Trump's one-time campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was convicted by a jury in Virginia of financial misdeeds. Common, is Trump in trouble?
Well, I thought he's been in trouble before. He's sort of like, he's the true Teflon Don. Nothing sticks. There were other times I thought, gosh, this doesn't look good for him. I mean, not that I thought he was going to be impeached or they call it censured, but I thought, well, this is probably not going to be a real positive for him. But then he just says fake news and his supporters go with it. Even when everybody knows much of what he says is fake news isn't fake news, his followers are lemmings. And they believe whatever he says because they want to. It's like the people that want to believe about the Vikings. Hashtag faith. It's hashtag Trump. They want to believe everything he has to say. And so, I did some reading about it. And it was a story from one of my news sources that I find on my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device, something to the effect of Q&A. What Cohen's plea and Manafort's verdict mean for Trump. Then they had these questions such as, does Cohen's guilty plea mean Trump violated the law? And then it says, a former prosecutor in the Justice Department's public integrity section said, the issue of whether Trump violated the law comes down to whether Trump tried to influence an election, whether he knew and directed it, and whether he knew it was improper. I don't know if they can prove that or not. Now, it sounds as though what's-his-face said he did.
Cohen.
But you've got to see if he can prove that. Trump's attorney, and he's a Rudy Giuliani, he's amusing. He says, there's no allegation of any wrongdoing against the president in the government's charges against Mr. Cohen. Then it says, does Cohen's plea mean Trump could be forced to submit to questions? And it says the Supreme Court in 97, ruling in a sexual harassment lawsuit brought by Paula Jones against President Bill Clinton, held that a sitting president could be made to answer questions as part of a lawsuit. But that ruling did not directly address whether a president could be subpoenaed to testify in a criminal investigation, a question the Supreme Court may have to confront if Mueller tries to compel Trump's testimony in his probe. So again, there's questions there. That would be trouble if he had to, possibly, but if he doesn't, it's no trouble. Then it says, if there is evidence of wrongdoing, can Trump be indicted? And the story says, the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, which provides legal advice and guidance to executive branch agencies, has held that a sitting president cannot be indicted. But then it says, who has somebody named Saul Weisenberg, who conducted grand jury questioning of Clinton as deputy independent counsel during the Whitewater investigation, said he still wants to see more details of Cohen's plea deal. But he did say, quote, obviously it's not good for Trump. The stuff on Stormy Daniels is not good for Trump. I'm assuming he's not going to be indicted because he's a sitting president, but it leads him closer to ultimate impeachment proceedings, particularly if the Democrats take back the House. So I think the election, but then the Russians will be involved in the election and they'll throw it to the Republicans. So again, he's going to miss it and he's going to claim any collusion or any interference in the election by the Russians is fake news.
Yeah.
And so the Teflon Don will miss out there. And then could Trump pardon himself? And Rudy Giuliani told NBC Meet the Press in June, pardoning himself would be unthinkable and probably lead to immediate impeachment. And he has no need to do it. He's done nothing wrong. Still, Giuliani argued that Trump probably does have the power to pardon himself. So how good is that, in all honesty? How'd you like to have that at home, Tenenby? If you did something wrong.
A doghouse pardon?
Yeah, the doghouse pardon. You just say, I'm pardoning myself on this. Sorry, honey. And you're out of it. But Giuliani does say, if he does pardon himself, that could lead to immediate impeachment. Because I think, even the crackpot conservatives, I think, maybe not. Maybe there's, you know, it's so much our guy against your guys that maybe even as preposterous as that would be, they would just go, oh, we don't care. We're not going to impeach him. If he wants to pardon himself, he can pardon himself. And then the next time around, if there's a Democrat in office and he wants to pardon himself, they'll say just the opposite. It's time to impeach him. And vice versa. It goes back. Yeah. It goes both ways. So I guess to answer your question, I can't answer it other than to say I don't think any of it's going to hurt. In the long run, will hurt the Donald because nothing sticks with the Donald. He just says fake news is all he says, and it works.
It for today's edition of Five Questions. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
Blandon's blundering bets and Common Man's no-brainer bit of the day. That's next on the Grum and the Fan.
And programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Joffy LASIK.
Couple 13, 14 pass before we dive into Tenenby's blundering bets and the Common Man no-brainer bet of the day. I received this email, Tenenby, regarding our first segment of the day. It says, Common, you'll feel the same way again as you say Lindsay now feels once you finally... Wait, hold on. Email cut off here. I'll find it. I'll find the original. Yeah, please. Thank you. Here it is. It says, you'll feel the same way again as you say Lindsay now feels once you finally, God willing it soon, decide to give up your losing daily grum. You missed your window too. And I did. Because my contract was about to expire and then they presented me with a new 4-year contract extension. So now I'm stuck here for 4 more years. I had a chance to go out as a loser. If all I like to say was I don't want the contract. The end of the end is near. And instead, I'm going to get paid obscene money. I'm going to be paid a lot of money to do very little. Is that what bothers people more than anything?
Yeah, it's jealousy.
Is that I put, and I know it shows, I put little to zero effort into this every day. None. And I think that annoys people.
I'm well aware.
People have to put so much into their jobs. They burn the midnight oil. They burn the candle at both ends, and it annoys them. I'm a natural. I'm Roy. Was it Roy Hobson? Butch Hobson played for the Red Sox. They did a movie about him. It's called The Natural. Robert Redford starred in it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm done talking about myself.
I doubt that.
I don't hear too. How preposterous was that statement? I'm done talking about myself.
Well, he said, I'm just agreeing with him. I had a chance to go out a loser. I was going to feel what it's like. And then I stupidly signed a 4-year contract extension. I don't know why I did that, but I did. So anyway, what was your question? Did you? Oh, it's not questions.
Yeah, we're done
it's
with
blundering
questions.
Bets. That's right.
Time now for Blandon's Blundering Bets.
I was up to $889.06 going into my two games yesterday, and if you recall, I upped the price a little bit. I bet $500 of that $889.
You did.
On the Yankees and Marlins game, I took the over 7.5. So a $500 bet to win $454.55. All I need is 8 combined runs out of the Yankees and Marlins.
Marner goes. Throw to second. Got him! The Yankees win the game on a caught stealing. Galloway going. And a throw by Higashioka, and they get him for the final out.
And that final out means the Yankees won 2-1. So I lost $500 there.
Wow. Why would you start betting big, large chunks of change like that?
Well, the funny thing is as I was preparing for my bets, I was going to do a BTO on my second bet. And then I saw the Yankees line and go, I got to put money on the Yankees.
Yeah.
Wish I would have put it all on the Tampa Bay Rays. They were -270 versus the Kansas City Royals. I bet 270 to win $100.
2-2, and he got it. He strikes him out to end this one. 16 strikeouts for Rays pitching, and they win it 4-1. They've taken the first two games of the series to go 4 games over 500.
Now what do you think? What do you think of that?
So I at least salvaged $100. Out of a last night's game, so.
And today's Blandon's Blundering Bets total is at.
I'm up $489.06. The comma man, on the other hand, you are up $21,149.57.
And then I got greedy.
You BTO'd it. You let it ride.
I did what?
You BTO'd it.
I did. Every red cent.
Yeah.
My hard-earned money. The money that I have earned working here at... that I've stolen from iHeartMedia all these years, parlayed it into $20,000-plus winnings at the sportsbook. I decided to bet it all. What could I have been so certain about that I would risk $20,000?
The Arizona Diamondbacks. You had them at -215 against the Los Angeles Angels, and it was a tight one. Mm-hmm. It came down to a walk-off.
Pitch on the way, and A.J. Bunch. It's a good one. And Bedrosian will throw to third. He throws it away. Here comes Jay. He will score, and the Diamondbacks walk it off. And they beat the Angels tonight 5-4 on a bunt by Pollock and the ball thrown away by Bedrosian.
Boy, the bunt was right there.
Yeah.
Bedrosian came up trying to get the lead runner, yeah. What he's trying to do, and throws it away. Diamondbacks walk it off.
The Diamondbacks walk it off. And Common Man walks away with a big chunk of change.
That was your great clip of the day brought to you by Great Clips. So you won on a walk-off air. They had runners on first and second. Batter bunts it. Pitcher ends up trying to get the guy out at third. Overthrows him. They score, and the Diamondbacks win 5-4.
Now what do you think? What do you think of that?
So you won $9,837 on that bet, which means...
And today's Commons Blundering Bets total is at...
$30,986.57.
Now, say that again, and I'll pretend I'm on Wheel of Fortune, and they announce it. You know, when Pat Sajak makes the announcement?
You won 30. You are now up $30,986.57.
I can't believe it. I got so much right. My headset fell off, and so did my hat. Did I look like I was really excited there, like I was on TV?
Yes. That's exactly how they look.
Where they just get that look, their mouth is just wide open. And I don't blame them.
Shock.
You're on TV with Pat Sajak and Vanna White, and you're getting big fat stacks of Wheel of Fortune provided cash for really doing nothing but spinning a wheel and going, I'll take an S. Is there a W? I'd like to buy a vowel. And you make big fat stacks of Wheel of Fortune provided cash. Wow.
So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
So I got three bets for today.
And how much money do you have?
I'm at $489.06. A little less money to work with. So we're going to start off with a
value bet. Well,
why wouldn't you? You keep going with what works.
Either a value bet or desperation.
Yeah.
I'm only going to bet $50, but I'm doing it to win $127.50. I'm betting MLS soccer. And I'm and I'm betting for the New York Red Bulls versus New York City FC game tonight to end in a draw.
Boy, I'm...
You can get the draw at plus 255.
I'm waiting to hear this logic.
Well, it's two teams that are basically virtually even, right? There's 1 point separation in the standings. Okay. They are 3-3-1 against each other in their last seven.
They don't like each other very much.
The Red Bulls have the best defense in MLS, and given they are playing on the road at Yankee Stadium, I think they're going to be content to try to play a conservative, low-scoring style game. So if I can get the draw at plus 255, which means...
Yeah. How can you refuse that?
Bet 50 to win 127.50, that's too good of a price.
You can't walk away from that. You would be doing yourself an injustice if you didn't bet on that game.
So I can't pick winners or losers, so I figure I might as well pick them to tie. I will also bet two baseball games. I'm going to take the Cubs -1.5, so they have to win by at least two runs over the Detroit Tigers tonight or afternoon. That'll be a $200 bet to win 160. It's John Lester going for the Chicago Cubs. And for the Detroit Tigers...
Then you go to Lariano on day five, and if he's got it, you're in good shape. If he doesn't have it, get the women and children out of the first five rows in left field.
I think Lariano didn't even get out of the second inning against the Twins. Against the Cubs lineup, I don't think it's going to go well for him.
So you don't think Lariano's going to have it tonight?
No.
So you're saying get the women and children out of the first five rows?
Yeah. Okay. They'll take the Cubs to win by 1.5 runs. It's a $200 bet to win 160. And then I'm going to do a parlay.
Really?
I'm going to parlay it up.
Parlez-vous français?
I'm going to do a parlay, both of them involving the A's-Rangers game tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to bet the A's at -158, so they have to win the game. And then I'm also going to bet the under in the A's-Rangers game. The rationale, the A's have shut out the Rangers in the first two games of the series, so the Rangers' bats are cold. Edwin Jackson goes for Oakland. He's given up two runs in his last four starts. The over-under is 8.5. So I need the A's to win, and for the run total to be under 8.5, that's a $100 bet to win $218.82.
So you're doing a parlez-vous français, yeah. And I would say your money, you can say au Wiedersehen, as the French would say. Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I think I've made my my betting strategy quite clear. All I do is I look at the starting pitchers and whoever's really good, and if he's playing for a really good team, I bet on him. Now, that being said, here's a sucker bet, Tenneby.
Okay.
The best pitcher, one of the top one or two pitchers going tonight. Make sure I got the right day sports page. Is it Wednesday today? Is it Hector Carrasco for Cleveland? 15-6 with a 3.33 ERA facing Boston's L. Johnson. So is his name Lanny?
Brian Johnson.
Is it Larry Johnson? Well, no, it says an L. Well, next to his name. So... How could his name be Brian? It's going to be. Brian doesn't start with a B. It's L. His name is Lanny. It must be.
Is it Lion Johnson?
Larry Lion. Yeah. I don't know.
Lance.
It's Lance Johnson. I don't know who he is. But he, at 4-3 with a 4.00 ERA, he's not the bet. Plus, Boston's really good.
At home.
It's hard to sweep a team. Cleveland's 1-2. Yeah. So I'm staying away from that like the play.
Okay.
I just won't. Even though. I believe, let's test my theory a little bit. I'm not going to bet a big amount of money, but I'm going to take Carrasco just because I believe in the best pitcher.
Okay.
So now remember, I'm giving you an excuse why I may lose, but I don't mind. I'm $29,000 in the good, so it doesn't matter. I'm going to bet $2,000 on Carrasco.
$2,000?
Yep.
And it's both teams are a -110, so it's a pick 'em.
Okay.
So $2,000. We'll get you 1818.18.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's worth it. And then I'm also going to take John Lester And I feel good about Lester because I don't think Liriano has it. Get the children out of the first row, the first five rows at Comerica. I'll take Lester and the Cubs, and I'll bet $5,000 on that.
Okay,
game.
So I got the Cubs at minus 188.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to bet five G's,
mm-hmm.
that'll get you 2702 and 70 cents.
I like it.
Good luck, that, not that you need it.
No, I don't think I will.
We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You've done us wrong.
When we return, where's my tease? Oh, another development, another sure sign that as a society, as Western civilization continues to decline, we have another sign of the beginning of the middle of the end of the end of Western civilization. That's next on the Grum and the Fan.
The Common Man.
Sometimes wisdom is found in the craziest people.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
Enter to win a pair of advanced screening passes to see the movie Operation Finale on August 27th at 7 p.m. at AMC Southdale, KFAN.com. Keyword contest.
I'm getting a lot of compliments and a congratulatory emails regarding my four-year contract extension. It's really not that big of a deal. I've had them before. My guess is I'll have them again. Other people like that I dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. One of my favorite songs, because it's so perfect for a talk show host, I think it's in my top 100. Eric Burdon and the Animals, Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't help me be misunderstood. Goes back to my whole theory about crackpot conservatives and lunatic liberals. I get all sorts of emails from people that
I don't think you have it in there.
Oh, would you put it in there?
We got to get out of this place in there.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. And oftentimes, when you're a talk show host, you're misunderstood not for anything you've said or how you've said it. It's the way it's interpreted by the listener. And it goes back to, there are two clear-cut mental disorders in this country that I know for sure. That's lunatic liberals. If you're a liberal and you're a lunatic, you're mentally ill. And same thing with crackpot conservatives. So you tossed me the bait. You asked a Trump question.
Yeah.
About Manafort and what's the other guy's name?
Cohen, his attorney.
And you asked me if this meant the end of the end for Trump. And it's funny, I angered both lunatic liberals and crackpot conservatives with my
really?
How does that even happen? Well, yeah, I was like, he's in all sorts of trouble. You don't think he should be in trouble for what he did? He should be impeached right now. He should be indicted. That's the lunatic liberals.
Yeah.
And then the crackpot conservatives are
fake news witch hunt?
Yeah, right. Fake news witch hunt. And I'm like, I actually, if you listen to what I said, all I said was I read the analysis of a couple of experts that were quoted. And if you read them, if you listen to them, most of the experts said, well, he's probably not in any trouble. It doesn't look good, but he's probably not in any trouble. And I said, your question was, do you think this means trouble for him? And I said, he's the Teflon Don. No, he'll just say fake news. It'll be over with. And I'm getting ripped for that. What's wrong with that opinion? It's not like I sided with Trump or against him.
No.
That's what I don't understand, what people want. But people hear what they want to hear. So they just heard what they perceived as a negative toward Trump. When actually I was actually complimenting him on being able to dodge adversity. I called him a genius at the end of the segment. Didn't I? I said, it's brilliant. He's by doing the fake news thing, he's created the people that follow him believe that. Now, they do believe the media is the enemy.
Liberal bias.
Yeah, and so they bought into it, and great. I'm telling you, I roll my eyes, shrug my shoulders, and shake my head. I know I should probably take it more seriously. People wonder, well, yeah, but it's the future of our country. I mean, why can't you take this more seriously and pay closer attention? Because there's nothing I can do about it. And I don't want to get bogged down in it. I'm watching Scotty grow. I got two Scotties. I'm working on my golf game. I'm paying my fair share in taxes. I'm paying money. Do what you want with it. Build some roads, a couple of schools. Try to stop school shooters. And that's what I'm... So I don't know why I would get attacked. You asked me a question, and I just responded. Right? I just said, yeah, I don't think it's going to be bad for him. Your question was, what was your... Do you have the question in front of you?
I said, is Trump in trouble?
And I said, no. So why... Keep your political opinions to... That's what somebody said. You'll love this one. This is so good. Shut you off. That's what it said. Not going to listen to your politics because I don't care. We listen and get away from the garbage, not beat upside the head with it. Horrible radio. Beat upside with the head with it. He's acting like I just did a Rush Limbaugh 3-hour... Politics, politics, politics is your whole life.
It's like 3 minutes.
Politics. Yeah.
It was one question and five questions.
Right. And it's the first time we've done any Trump talk in literally 4.5 months, I think.
Because I thought it was a significant story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't my politics. Politics didn't play in that at all. He said, see, that's again, he's not listening. So I can't tell, but I'm assuming he's a Trump listener, I think, or Trump supporter, but he might not be. Maybe he's neutral and just doesn't want any politics at all. But you asked me the question, and there was no, I didn't really take a political side in it.
No.
The question was, is he in trouble? And I said, no, he's the Teflon Don. And I didn't beat anybody upside the head with that. I didn't go on and on about it. It's the same thing when you send out a tweet during a Vikings game that says $84 million, question mark.
Yeah.
And someone tweets back, F you. I laughed. When I saw that tweet, I started laughing.
Said F off.
Yeah. I just laughed. I thought, you can't be, as John McEnroe once said, you can't be serious. You're that people's tempers can flare in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
Over something as insignificant as the buffoon at noon, a meaningless midday talk show host who just signed a 4-year contract extension, and if anybody that... I don't know why he'd follow me. Anybody that knows me knows what's the word gratuitous mean? I know gratuity means a tip. Because I would call it a gratuitous cheap shot is what I did with Cousins. I mean, am I really thinking that they wasted $84 million because he had two bad series in the second preseason game?
Gratuitous.
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 Given, done, bestowed, or obtained without charge or payment, free, voluntary, or being without apparent reason, cause, or justification.
Yeah, there was no reason. I just throw it out there because it's funny, you know, that I'm giving. It's like we do when
you once called for Trump there. Tice's firing after the first practice.
After the first practice, I called for Mike Tice's head on the radio. It's my favorite fan stories of all time. Should I regale you in it? It's been a while since I have. If you've listened to it before, sorry. For those that you haven't, Tice had been hired. First training camp practice in Mankato. And I sign off the air and I say, I think they ought to let Mike go. She's not getting it done in Mankato. I'm calling for the head of Mike Tice. This is to the haunting strains of the final music of the Grump. So I go home. I get up, I go play. I played at the Wilds Golf Club. I remember, and I'm coming home from the Wilds, and I get a phone call from then program director Doug Westerman. And he says, Common. I go, Doug. Because I'm Common and he's Doug. So that's how we started our conversation. And I said, what's up? He goes, what'd you say about Tice yesterday? And I thought, well, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember what I remember what I just shot on the golf course, but I don't remember what I talked about. He goes, did you call for his head yesterday? And I started laughing. Just like I did when I saw the tweet that said, F you or F off or whatever it was. I said, yeah, at the end of the show, as a throwaway, I said I was calling for Mike Tyson's head. I didn't think he was getting it done at training camp. He's been coached long enough. This is his first year, by the way. Wasn't his second year, it was his first year. So I just laughed. I said, well, yeah, I just it was the throwaway, but it really wasn't even that funny, I don't think. Well, I guess Tice is really upset. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm not. He goes, will you talk to media relations director Bob Time for Two More Hagen? He wasn't known as Time for Two More. I gave him that nickname last year. I said, I guess I hang up, phone rings, it's Hagen. Common, what did you say about Hagen? I go, did you call for his head? I go, well, yeah, Bob. I said, but you know me, it was a bit. It's just a throwaway. Everybody, even he has to understand that the buffoon at noon is not going to call for somebody's head after his first training camp practice in his first year as head coach. You can't believe it. He goes, well, apparently his wife and his son were listening and they were very upset. What are they listening for in the first place? Why would they be listening to the buffoon at noon? I go, oh, you got to be kidding me. No, he goes, would you talk to him? I go, I guess, when do you want me to do this? And he goes, how about right now? He's walking by me and he hands Tice the phone. Huh? I heard you're dogging me. And he goes,
you guys are going to criticize whatever you want to criticize.
I go, is Common? Yeah, Mike, it's Common. All right. Heard you were dogging me on the radio. That's what he said. I said, Mike, I said, have you listened to the show before? Yeah, I've listened. I go, well, you know the bit then, don't you? I said, you can't really believe, I'm sorry your wife and your son had to be subjected to that. That awful midday talk show host calling for you to be fired. You're the people that support and provide for the family, and I'm asking for you to be fired. But, Mike, it was a joke. You know, I know it was. Well, but you know what? It took a real man to give me a call.
I always love that one.
Which wasn't even your intention.
I didn't call. They called me. I said, well, don't worry. And then we yucked it up and we talked and we laughed. And, you know, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. He laughed. I started crying, you know. And then I think he started crying and I started laughing. And then we talked about how much we liked each other and how I thought he was going to get a raw deal eventually in Minnesota, and that was the end of the conversation. So, how did I get into the story? Why was I recanting this tale? I was supposed to talk about why...
You were doing gratuitous.
Yeah. But what I was trying to do was... I was just calling the Teflon Don. I can't believe nobody else has he been called that anywhere else?
I haven't heard it.
Because... That's what they called one of the mafia bosses. Because a mafia boss is called a Don. And so I thought, well, it's Don Trump. So they called him the Teflon Don because nothing would stick on this guy. The feds would try to charge this mob boss with stuff and he would get out of it. And yeah. So they started calling him the Teflon Don because nothing stuck. And same thing with Trump, nothing sticks. Whether it should or not, that's not even the point. It's like, He's come up with a brilliant way, and some people, it maddens some people. It John maddens some people. It makes some people so angry, especially the liberal media, the ones that are accused of putting together fake news. He just says fake news, his followers believe it, and he moves on. It's genius. That's all I'm trying to say.
Where was that beating people over there? But have you had any of the Colorado peaches yet?
No.
From Byerly's? I got these at the employees Byerly's. And these Colorado peaches are out of this world. I'm going to enjoy one during the break. And this is perfect. My next addition to my 100 greatest songs list is from an album called Eat a Peach. I haven't even told you about this yet, so you'll have to find the song in the system or somewhere else. That's next, and I promise another sign that we're at the end of the end of the end of Western civilization. All that, 2 o'clock hour, next fan.
The Common Man.
You remind me of a doll no one wants to buy, so they just stop making that doll eventually.
Yeah, you a goofy Gus.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan. Ow.
KFAN supports Valley Fair Cares and 30 Day Foundation. Valley Fair tickets can be purchased today for $36 and are good August 20th through the 31st. For every ticket sold, Valley Fair will donate $1 to the 30 Days Foundation. Find more at KFAN.com. Keyword community. When things go wrong, I seem to be
bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. One last thing. Someone says, well, you call Trump supporters lemmings. Well, any person who follows any politician, I think, is a lemming. I'm telling you, tune in, turn on, drop out, don't vote. Have you not learned your lesson? If you follow Hillary Clinton, you're a lemming. If you follow Donald Trump, you're a lemming. If you follow any politician. You know what I saw the other day? Now, you tell me if you think these people are just politically active and trying to change the system or if they're crackpots. There's a politician named Paulson. Do you know who he is?
Paulson?
Yes.
I've heard the name.
I have too, and I don't know if he's lunatic liberal, crackpot conservative.
It's Eric Paulson, right?
Eric Paulson. What does it say he does for a living?
He's an American politician serving in the United States House of Representatives for Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District since 2009. Okay.
Yesterday, I'm coming to work. And on the corner over here by Doubleday, the hotel, there's a group of people, 13, 14 people, holding signs that say, Paulson, face the public. Have a debate. And then they had signs for it must be his opponent. I don't know who he's running against.
Okay.
Who it is. And they're just standing there on the street corner. Was Paulson going to be there or was his opponent going to be? And 13, 14 people just standing there, taking selfies of each other. A couple people honked a horn and give them the thumbs up. Couple of people honked the horn and gave him a thumbs down. I'm like, why are you? If that's what you want to do in your spare time, it's okay. There's got to be better things to do in your spare time, isn't there? To stand on a street corner. I don't know. Maybe that's how change happens in this country. I don't know. Is Paulson lunatic or conservative?
Crackpot. Looks like he's conservative.
He's crackpot? Okay. Might be great in what he does. I don't know. So the lunatic liberals were out en masse. I wouldn't say en masse. Like I say, there were 13, 14 of them. Bitter, angry at Eric Paulson. I don't know what he's done wrong. I don't know why. I don't know if he's done something wrong, but they weren't happy with him, those people in the corner. And I just rolled my eyes, shrugged my shoulders, and shook my head and moved on with my life. That being said, you were the one that alerted me to this story. And they're calling it furgatory? No, it's purgatory. What's furgatory?
F-U-R?
Yeah, what is it? What did you send me? You sent me a tweet?
I did, yes.
What did it say?
I had a link to a Star Tribune story.
Yeah, but what was it? Remind me. What was the story?
Well, now I got to look at it.
Fraternity leave. Not purgatory.
Huh?
But I think we're in purgatory now. This is purgatory. Fraternity leave for new pet parents offered at a Minneapolis company.
You've got to be kidding me.
I thought you were making it up. How did I find the story?
I texted it to you.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, how did I have to, punch something to get to it? Because it was, here it is. Here's the story. Fraternity leave for new pet parents offered at Minneapolis company. It says, in May, Connor McCarthy welcomed the newest addition to his family, Bentley, a two-month-old golden doodle.
Aww.
Now, I've heard of poodles and golden labs. Do they force?
I would guess that would be the case.
So they breed poodles and golden retrievers together? Is that artificially done? Is that artificial insemination or artificial insemination? Or do they like show them puppy porn and then go ahead?
Is it like Justify where it's prearranged ahead of time?
And then does it matter if the female's a poodle or a golden retriever? Does it matter
which
if
one's the male? Yeah, one's the female?
Does that matter?
Would it change the order of the words?
And that's what I don't know either.
Golden retriever.
And most poodles are kind of small. And a golden retriever's big. Isn't that awkward? Really big dog and a little tiny dog. It just
Well, maybe it's artificially put in.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. And if it's not. McCarthy got to stay home and watch over the puppy thanks to his company's new fraternity leave. A Minneapolis digital marketing company offers employees 1 week of flexible offers to care for their pets. And a senior, Connor, who got to stay home with his dog, says, I think being able to be home and being able to have that flexible schedule the first week really allowed Bentley to understand his new surroundings.
You've got to be kidding me.
What was there to understand? There's a kennel.
There's my kennel.
There's a kennel.
There's my bowl.
There's your bowl.
There's where I go outside.
I'm your owner. McCarthy and his girlfriend have been planning to adopt a puppy and knew the first week was critical to the puppy person bonding.
Oh, come on.
So he asked his supervisor for flexible hours. His request was approved in a day. I wonder why it took him a day. Did they go, we need to think about this for a minute. Well, let us get back to you on that one. And then when they talked about it, did they say, if we don't, this has probably got some kind of a lawsuit all over it. It's just going to be bad PR for us.
This way you can get good PR out of it.
Let's give them the week off. But the executive director at the company said, we thought, of course, that's hardly a question. It's such a reasonable ask, and bringing a new puppy home is a big, important life step. I'll repeat that. Bringing a new puppy home is a big, important life step.
I always love that one.
Story goes on to say, more than ever, companies across the country are offering new benefits, from free gym access to kombucha on tap. What's his face for the Viking, former Michael Viking, Floyd. Michael Floyd, would like to work here, I think. Did he catch on anywhere? Is he playing in the
National? I don't think he's caught on yet.
And they do this to enhance work-life balance. Remember Lil B? Lil B can't believe work-life. Remember last week?
Yeah.
How bitter she is about when she's...
The millennials complaining
the millennials,
about... Yeah.
They need a work-life balance. I just need my life balanced. I can't have too much work. I got to be able to balance my life and my work. What if your life is your work?
There are some of those people.
How do you balance that? Talk about it. Balancing it. Still, it's rare to see perks when it comes to pets, according to the New York Times. An Italian company allowed a woman last year to take paid time off when her dog became sick. And employees at M Particle, a data company in New York, are offered paternity leave.
You've got to be kidding me.
2 weeks off paid time. 2 weeks of paid time off for those who adopt a rescue dog or get an exotic pet, such as an iguana.
You've got to be kidding
me. First, I'd have to question any employee that worked for me that wanted to have a pet iguana. Right away, I'm like, couldn't you just get a lizard suit? We're kind of in a new era of employee benefits. It's about catering to people at all their different life stages. So, Tenneby, this past winter, you made a significant change to your golf swing. Do you think you should have been given off a couple of months this summer paid to work on your... That's a significant life change.
It is.
How significant is it when you're completely changing your golf swing?
It's changed my outlook on life, my mood.
The act of changing your golf swing can take... They should give you 2 years off paid. I asked Craig Warrion one time. I called him on the phone. This is like 5 years ago. And I'm watching the PGA Tour, the silly season in February, right? You know how the really good golfers do the... inside out.
Yeah.
And I'm an over the top guy. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I'm the guy that come over the top.
Yeah.
Come over the top. And I'm watching, I go, I'm done being an over the top guy. Hate it. I'm going to become a real player. So I go over to the now defunct Minnesota Golf Academy, and I see Chili there, one of the instructors. I go, Chili, I want to learn to go inside out like all you good players. He goes, all right, let's give it a try. So I started doing it. Hit two or three, beautiful. The other ones were terrible. Came back and tried it again the next day and worked on it some more. I got 3 or 4 hours invested in it. I'm going to keep doing it. And I call Craig on the phone, master professional Craig Warren, member of the Minnesota Golf Hall of Fame, as is his father and as his uncle. Warren is golf royalty in Minnesota. I go, Craig, I've made a major decision in my life. And he goes, what's that? I go, I'm changing my golf swing. I'm going to go from inside out like all the good players. Long pause. Matter of fact, it was so long, Craig inserted this. And he said, in his very understated way, I wouldn't do that if I were you, Common. I go, well, why? Why? Why wouldn't you want me to become one of the good players? He says, it's going to take you a minimum of 2 years to perfect that. And even then, there are no guarantees. He said, Common, when your swing is on, it works. And then he listed off 8, 9, 10 PGA Tour pros, very successful ones, including the late Bruce Litsky, who he said were all over-the-top players, and look how well they... He compared me to Bruce Litsky. I should have nominated Craig for a preposterous statement. So I stayed with my swing, and it's worked wonders. Craig said it would take me 2 years. That's a life change. Do you think iHeartMedia should have given me 2 years off to do that? It's life-changing.
And I'd like that 2 years.
Well, yeah, and you know, they've got a corporate membership at a local club. They could allow you to work on your game there.
I'd take that.
You could get that first tee time at 7:33 every morning.
Sure.
Got a nice practice facility over there.
36.
You could play, go have lunch, go to the practice facility, and then go back out and play again.
Sure.
Play with Meat Sauce and watch him shoot an 80.
Oh, boy.
We're kind of in a new era of employee benefits. It's all about catering to people at all different life stages. McCarthy's not the first employee to ask about pet leave. After receiving multiple requests, the company decided to make the pet perk a standard policy for employees. What we're trying to do is make sure we have benefits that accommodate people throughout their lives, whether they're needing more flexibility to care for an aging loved one. That seems important to me. Or whether they're adopting a new pet at home. How long have people been adopting pets? Og and Grog. Fred Flintstone had Dino. You remember? You familiar with the Flintstones? Animated cartoon about a Stone Age family from the town of Bedrock. They're a place right out of history. They've been raising pets since the dinosaur days. Dino was very well adjusted. Dino didn't have any problems. When I was a kid, we had dogs and cats. No one took time off. How about, should kids get time off school for that then too? Because they have to adjust that new adjustment with the dog at home. McCarthy, you know, the first-time puppy owner person, said the first week was important for potty training and getting Bentley acclimated to his new family and surroundings. He says, it certainly impacts your schedule and it certainly impacts what's going on at home, so having that flexibility with Bentley was crucial. The policy at this company includes any animal that doesn't primarily live in a cage. So, like, you couldn't do it for a parakeet. Unless I let my bird fly free as the wind blows, right? The new perk centers on the idea of work-life balance, understanding that life extends beyond the office. Bentley has been a complete joy. He's one of the family members now. So, I think you should have time off for your swing change. It's a life change.
I might go get a pet just so I can get some time off.
See, think about that. Got a new pet.
Like, gosh, I'd really not like, I don't want to have to work the next week. I'll just go get a dog.
Yeah. And do it, obviously, in the summer.
State fair time. Oh, perfect time to do it.
State fair time. And make sure you do before all the courses punch greens. Because, you don't want to take that time off. You get to, they're aerating the greens. So do it when they're not aerating the greens.
Brilliant.
See, I don't think there has to be a camp for dogs or cats. I like them both. But see, a cat doesn't need to be acclimated to your house. You just bring the cat home, you toss him in the house and say, just don't shred the furniture when you're sharpening your claws and be done with it. So there you go.
Well, even with a dog, and clearly you don't want to be gone for a long time just because they can't handle their bladder at that moment. Yeah. So you want to be able to teach them. And you are a little worried about them being scared, being all alone in the kennel all by themselves, but use a vacation day. You decided to get a dog. You didn't have to get a dog.
They left Dino at home all day. You ever watch Flintstones? Dino was a very well-behaved dog. Great dog. Fred didn't take any time off from sleep. Gravel Company.
We got our dog on a Saturday morning.
That's it.
You get two full days to spend time with your dog.
And how'd it work out?
Great.
So well that you have a portrait painted of your dog hanging above your fireplace.
I always love
that's how well it's worked out for you. When we come, we'll talk about punches for pay next.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family.
A couple 13 and 14 past here on the Common Man program, we've been talking about the very controversial topic of fraternity leave, Tenneby, where there are a number of companies that are allowing people pay time off. If they adopt a pet, bring them home, help their dog get adjusted to its new life and its new home. I'm also told there's at least one company, if not two, that in addition to giving you that paid leave off, they're also adding money to their 401k account. So their 401k.
That was a Maury one, huh?
No, that was Sweeney's guy. Well, I liked it. Our next guest is Caleb Truax. Golden, how are you, me boy?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well as well. How'd camp go? How'd training go? How you feeling?
Pretty good, man. Everything went pretty smooth. No injuries. Body feeling pretty good and ready to put on a show Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night, you step back inside the confines of the four ring posts, the squared circle at the armory, and I don't think we talked on air after you lost your title and you won the title, you beat DeGale, you gave him a rematch, you lost a close decision, a fight that I thought could have gone either way. What are your thoughts on that fight? I mean, do you feel that the decision was right? Have you been able to accept it? Do you think you got robbed? Do you think it was close? Do you think he won? What do you think?
It was a close fight. I mean, I didn't have my best night, so I'm not too disappointed about it because I kind of it falls back on me not having a great night. But at the end of the day, I thought I did enough to win. I didn't think he did very much to take myself being the champion. I didn't think he did enough to take my belt. And like I did against him in London, I beat him pretty convincingly, and he didn't really do much in the, right. in the second fight. But, you know, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm hoping to get a third fight with him. I was hoping to get a third fight with him right away, but he seemed to want to go in a different direction. And maybe it happens in the future. If it doesn't, so be it. Hopefully I'll get a shot at somebody else. After this fight, Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night, your opponent, his name escapes me. I have the bout sheet in front of me. Who are you fighting?
Fabiano Pena from Brazil.
That's right. Yeah, and from what I, you know, the book on him apparently is tough, rugged customer, right?
Yeah, he's been in with a lot of good fighters. He is a shorter, stockier guy. He throws big power shots, which... it's kind of from awkward angle, so that's something you always have to be careful just to not get caught with anything stupid. But, you know, it's a guy that I should beat. I should get him out of there, you know, after a few rounds. And it's kind of a stay busy slash tune-up fight to get myself ready for another title shot or something bigger in the near future.
Yeah, my guess is he's going to come in. He's got nothing to lose because you're right. He's the opponent. You're supposed to win the fight. It's like you say, like a tune-up. It's keep your name out there, win another fight, get another victory, wait for somebody else to give you another chance, or maybe fight another contender to take that next step and try to get back into title contention. So, my guess is he's going to come right at you and he's going to be throwing leather.
Yeah, like you said, man, he's got nothing to lose. He's fighting in my hometown. He's a big underdog. He's going to come out swinging and try to upset the apple cart, and it's my job to stay focused and treat this fight like it's a world championship fight. You know, I can't afford to have any slip ups here. I need to look good, put him away convincingly, and that will put me right back in for a title, possibly next fight. You know, there's been talk about me fighting Jose Uzkuteki for the IBF title. Gale vacated his title, and now Uzkuteki did it. And also, there's been talk about me fighting David Benavidez for the WBC title, and also Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. for which is another big fight. So I got a few big options. Got to get past Pena on Friday night.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be honest. You know, it's a tough business out there. A loss to Pena would probably be it for as far as being a contender, right? They're going to go, if you can't beat Pena, you're done, right? So this is as big a fight as you've had.
There's no losing this fight for me. Otherwise, I might as well hang him up, you know. And like my manager, Ron Lyke, always says, treat every fight like it's a world title fight, because if you don't, you know, if you lose a fight where you're supposed to win, that could be devastating for your career in boxing. You know, there's no weakness in a sport like boxing. So, there's no other option but to go out there and put on a good show and knock this guy out.
We're talking about Caleb Truax, a former super middleweight world champion. We've talked about this before. I liked your approach to this whole thing. You said, you know, you started to box, you enjoyed it, you had success at it, you wanted to get a title shot, got a couple, and then your dream came true. You won a world title. You always said, I'll fight as long as I feel like I can fight, but I'm not going to be a guy that just hangs around and becomes an opponent. In other words, you don't have any interest still in becoming the next Pena, right? You're not lose a fight here and then go fight another guy and fight another guy that's on his way up just to get a... Because the paydays will become smaller when you're not in contention, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want to fight. You know, I'm almost 35. I'll turn 35 next month, and I have maybe a few years left, two, three years left tops probably. But I'll fight as long as I can be successful, and as long as I'm healthy, and as long as I can, you know, make a living for my family, and I've made some good money these last two fights, and if I get another shot at a title, I'm sure I'll make some good money there. So, just as long as I can be successful. Obviously, now that I got the IBF world title, lost it. Now, once you've had that taste of one, you want to win another one, obviously. But if I don't win one, if I never fight for one again, you know, I won't be too upset about it. It's just the way things are. You know, I'm going to keep on fighting as long as I can be successful, like I said. And if that involves another title shot, great. If not, then so be it.
You've had a great career to this point. Good luck to you on Friday night. I'll see you there at the Armory. Good luck.
All right, me boy.
Yeah, thanks. That's Caleb Golden Truax fighting over the Armory again. Friday, tickets are still available. It's a big card. It's nationally televised. It's Al Haworth is in town. It's his card against with the Jamal James. We had him on earlier. So it's a 13-14 bout card at the Armory, and yours truly will do some of the ring announcing. Plenty of reaction, Tenneby, to Golden Doodle days off. That's next. Common Man Program. Fan.
The Common Man.
Sloppy. Lazy. Sensationalistic.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Don't forget to come see us broadcast live from the Minnesota State Fair at the KFAM booth. Brought to you by our friends at Mystic Lake. You can get the complete KFAM broadcast schedule presented by Mystic Lake right now at KFAN.com, keyword events.
It's the Amana Heating and Air Conditioning weather forecast on State Fair Eve from the Radio Romeo, spinning hot stacks of wax from the top of their axe for the next several hours. Today, expecting mostly sunny skies, high temp of 80 straight. Tonight, mid-60s. Tomorrow, some sun, some clouds. Mercury should play tag with 77. Sunset Strip. Speaking of 77, it's 1977. It's Diesel, the Sausalito Summer Nights. From your home for the hits, FM 100.3, The Fan. Sausalito. From 13-14 pass, Grum, final segment. We're at the State Fair tomorrow, Friday, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Noon to 3 each day, except one day we're doing 11 to 2, correct? Is that next Thursday or Friday? I know one day next week we're doing 11 to 2, I believe.
Well, we're doing 1 to 3 on Monday.
And then we're doing 1 to 3 on Monday, right?
And then Thursday we're doing 11 to 2 next week.
It's Thursday, 11 to 2?
Yeah.
11 to 2. And then on Monday we're doing 1 to 3.
And we'll have Meat Sauce out there Friday mm-hmm. from 2 to 3. He'll also be out there next Thursday from 1 to 2. Matt Burke has agreed to join us mm-hmm. 2 to 3 next Wednesday.
I owe him golf for that.
Well, I hope you can afford it. Mm-hmm. We'll play KFAN Jeopardy next Tuesday and next Friday, both in the 2 o'clock
also
hour.
Also, tomorrow we'll be playing the initial game.
Initial game?
Yep.
Okay.
Cash prizes.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't need no stinking t-shirts to give away for prizes.
Straight cash, homie?
Straight cash, homie, is what we give on our contests. Be there. Aloha. Breaking news first, before we get back into the controversial topic of fraternity leave. The pro gamer who dumped the world's sexiest weather girl to practice video games has lost the Call of Duty League Championship.
Oh, my gosh.
Douglas Martin, a.k.a. Face Sensor. Is that his name? It's capital F, small a, capital Z-E. Face, or is it Fozzy?
I don't know.
And does he just want to be called Z? Fozzy Sensor made headlines when he said dunzo to Yannette Garcia. Remember? He said, we're dunzo. Because he didn't have time to entertain the damsel in distress. The world's sexiest weather girl, because he had to focus on Call of Duty.
You've got to be kidding me.
I thought it was Fortnite. I get my video games mixed up.
They're all the same.
Then he got bitter because his followers, he has over a million followers, they started taunting him.
Sure.
No, I don't want Yannette back. How mean is that? So my guess is they were saying, oh, boy, what a clown. Bet you'd sure like to have the world's sexiest weather girl back. And then he has to, no. So again, instead of just taking it in stride, he has to get bitter on Twitter, which is what he did. He insists he has no regrets. He has 7.2 million Insta fans.
Wow.
That's a lot of Insta fans.
That is a lot.
He wrote, I came back this year and said I was winning the championship. I feel so bad. I really thought our team could do it. And no, I don't want Yannette back. Please stop with, is it memes?
Memes.
And what are memes?
It's kind of like a GIF, but it's more just like a picture, oh, okay. And then usually it's like something is written out over the picture.
Cool. She appeared on the TV show Today to open about a relationship in the difficult days since it ended. I did not know that she'd been on the Today show to talk about it. Like to watch that. I don't need to hear anything. Just watch.
Well,
she's
yeah,
the world,
baby.
She's the world's sexiest weather gal. I actually do not judge him. On the contrary, I wish him all the success. I hope that he wins the championship and it gives him all he wants. Because he doesn't want her, that's for sure. Then she added, we were a couple working in social media, and he had commitments with his followers, and I've had my job and projects. So there you go. he gave up her. He's lost twice. He lost in love, and he lost in...
We call that a double whammy.
That's a double whammy.
Yeah.
I'm getting all sorts of people that are extolling the virtues of Golden Doodles. Wonderful dog. Sure. I'm also being told, not every poodle is really tiny. Apparently there are poodles that are really big. I did not know that. I thought poodles were little tiny dogs that the owners shave them so that they look like they have balls of fur just above their feet, one on their tail, one on their head, because they like the way it looks. With no regard if the dog likes to be cut like that. You know what I'm talking about, the poodles that are shaved like that?
Yes. They got like part of their leg shaved, but then...
With no regard to how the poodle feels about that. They've just decided, looks cute. Just like the parents who have young boys that are like 5, 6, 7 years old and they have hair down to their shoulders because they think it looks really cute. Well, maybe the kid doesn't want to have hair down to his shoulders. Maybe he does. Maybe they asked him. I don't know. It's your kid. You do what you want within reason.
Well, we've been cutting my children's hair, so maybe we should let it grow out. They might want it grown out.
Yeah. Well, you should ask. You've been cutting it yourself?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
But, I mean, they basically get... haircuts that look like mine, unfortunately for them.
Yeah. Okay. Also being told that I'm absolutely wrong about Dino. Says, Wilma was a stay-at-home mom. Dino was never alone. And he's right.
Sure.
I stand corrected. Wilma stayed home with Pebbles. So Dino never had to live alone.
So no fraternity leave.
No, so Fred
needed.
Didn't need a fraternity leave. From Slate Rock and Gravel. He just didn't. Here's another. If I adopt two dogs, can I double my paid time off? Why not? Two dogs? Double the pleasure.
Double it up.
Double the pleasure, double the money.
What about, and then where does it stop? Like, can you just do like a goldfish? Because I would just get like a new goldfish every week.
You weren't listening. Oh. If it's an animal, that has to be in a cage. I guess a fishbowl would be the same as a cage.
Yeah.
How about if you let them just swim in the sink? I don't know. That's why I suggested, what if it was a parakeet, but you let them fly around in the house? Did I ever tell you about the time I was on Purple Microdot and the guy let the monkey out of the cage?
Yeah, long time ago.
He was
ago.
Running around the walls, and he jumped on my hair, and he was pulling my hair. I get your monkey off my head, man! Boy, I had nothing to hide except me and my monkey.
You know when the last time I heard that story was? Because I remember I was an intern on the show, and I made a promo about that.
Did you really?
I might have it somewhere.
No. I don't even know if that was
good. Yeah, here you go. This shows you how bad my interning was back then. You can listen to the editing on this one.
Dan Cole, the common man.
I had a buddy who once had a monkey.
He was running around the walls, not on the floor. It was like on a cartoon. He was running around, and then he jumped on my head. I was telling the guy, get this monkey off my head. And he's laughing. The owner, he's laughing. He's going, look at you, man. A monkey's pulling hair out of your head. I'm going, I know. Get him to stop. And all of a sudden, big patches of hair were out of my head. I told my mom that a battery exploded and it burned my hair.
Weekdays noon till 2 here on AM 1130.
And at that time, I wasn't as forthright and educated about my past And I didn't add the part that I was on Purple Micro Dot. I was at the pusher's house, and he let the monkey out. I called him my friend. He was the pusher man. Really scary stuff. And then there was this email before I get to some phone calls. This one says, I don't understand why you guys are getting so up in arms about an employer offering more benefits to their employees. If you don't want to take time off, don't work there. Sincerely, pet leave supporter guy. I'm not up in arms. It's funny. It's funny. We've been just trying to, funniness is in the ear of the beholder. It all depends if it strikes your funny bone. I thought we had some pretty good one-liners about it. It was more just to be funny.
Sure.
I don't care if the company wants to do that.
It's nice to have a company.
Yeah.
I wish companies in this country specifically would throw more of that towards maternity and paternity leave.
Yeah.
I don't think we do a good enough job with that. We work too much in this country.
Roofsy would have adopted a dog, taken 3 months off, then come back and quit. So he would have 3 seconds.
I always love that one.
Still one of my favorites. And then this one right here, Tennessee. Mr. Dan, why are you so insensitive to people's political beliefs, work-life balance, and puppeternity leave? The Heinz bottle's expired. I feel like the older you get, the more insensitive you become. People are very sensitive, especially in today's world. True story. I just rescued a turtle from crossing the road, and I really could have used a couple of days off to buy an aquarium. Turtle food, bonding, and time to make sure Tom gets acclimated to his new environment. Be kind, Common. Be kind. Please rewind. He's right.
I always love
Maybe I was
one.
Too insensitive.
The Heinz expiration line is pretty good.
That's really good. Maybe I have been too insensitive to fraternity leave. Why am I up in arms about it? Why would I let it bother me? It's not hurting me. Other than Tennessee, what if, like, I told you, and this is, you got to really, this strains credulity.
Yeah.
I tell you I'm adopting a dog, and then you have to do all of my work.
Sure.
Because I don't do much work, so it really wouldn't be that much of a strain.
That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, it really wouldn't be. But you get my drift,
yeah.
Right? You know, let's say that, for instance, let's say Nordo took time off to it 2 weeks for his dog, and they said, you now have to come up with questions. Think about it. You have to suddenly produce the Paul Allen Project along with the Common Man program, and you're not getting
any
more for
it. 6 hours a day. No.
So what do you think of fraternity leave now,
Just
Tennessee?
So you can go hang bond with Fido for a couple days.
Let me guess. You're not much of a fan of fraternity leave at that point, are you?
No.
See, it all depends upon, as Big Ticket says, whose ox is being gored. If your ox got gored, could you get fraternity leave off? I don't know. That's another question that I can't answer. Let's take a couple of phone calls. First of all, we got to go to Phil calling back from Loggers Trail. Phil, how did the front, how did the backside, which was your front side, treat you?
The backside actually treated me, kind of a slow day. Shot a 50, which is very, very common.
I say, you saw a shot of what? A 50?
A 50.
You tend to beat it. I mean,
oh yeah, it's bad.
If I played like you, I wouldn't. I got some advice for you. I'd take 2 weeks off and quit.
Well, that's the problem. I took 3 weeks off.
Yeah, that didn't help either. So you're 50. How are you doing on the front side?
Front side doing pretty good. I'll easily shoot under 90, I think.
But you're
good? Yeah, under.
Well, wait. Under 90? If you shot a 50 on the front, there ain't no way you're going to shoot something in the 30s on the back. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well,
I just got that front nine was a warm up.
Okay. I think you need a liquid lesson. What kind of beer do you like?
Bud Light.
I'd go have one right now. Have a couple, 13, 14, but let somebody else drive home. Thanks, my boy.
Right.
Appreciate it. The liquid lesson, Tennessee. Oh, yeah. Get lubed up with a couple of beers. I'll tell you what, it does a guy wonders. Luke, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling the Grum.
Thanks for taking my call, Chad.
Sure.
Hey, you eventually got that monkey off your back, didn't you?
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Give him another one, Tennessee. He's on some kind of a roll. Let me guess. Two shows nightly at Catch a Rising Star.
It's only a two-drink minimum, too. But listen, if Fred took some time off and trained that dog, maybe Dino wouldn't knock him over every time he came home from work.
Yeah, that's right. That is absolutely right. Maybe he should have taken some time off.
You know that Fozzie guy? I used to watch him on the Muppet Show. I never thought he was very smart.
Yeah, well, there's that.
And, you know, I think it's important that older people like us criticize the work ethic of younger generations, especially guys who, quote-unquote, work 3 hours a day. That's the best. I mean, but, you know, people don't know all the hours and research you put in down at Target's, Luke,
listen to this. Yeah. I leave no sand trap unraked.
That is correct.
No ball mark unrepaired and no divot unreplaced in my relentless pursuit of program material.
The hardest working man in show business now that Sammy Davis Jr. is no longer with us.
Thanks, my boy. I appreciate it. It's Luke giving us a call here on the Fan. You have what kind of a dog, Tenneby?
We don't officially know because it was a rescue dog.
Okay.
So it's a breed mix of some sort. Pretty confident Border Terrier is a main portion of it.
What's a mongrel dog? What is mongrel?
A mongrel?
Does mongrel mean that they've got several different breeds? Or is that what a mutt is? I'm not a dog expert.
I thought I heard the word you just said was like offensive now to dogs.
It could be.
Yeah, you have to like all mixed now.
Is it... It's fashionable now for people to just decide to breed two different dogs.
Mongrel.
A dog of no definable type or breed.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Is it politically correct anymore? Can you call a dog with an unidentifiable breed? Can you call him a mongrel? And what's a mutt?
Mutt.
It's what you would describe.
Mutt.
A dog, especially a mongrel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So one and the same. Also, don't they call like...
Also, the second part, there's a second definition for mutt.
Yeah.
A person regarded as stupid or incompetent.
Oh, meat sauce. So is there a picture of meat sauce there? A mutt.
I never knew that.
I did not either. What a... Can you get Big Boy Scott to do, what a mutt?
I always love that one.
And we can add that one to it. That's kind of the in thing is to... Can you pick any dog? I mean, can you just go, you know what? I really think it would be cool to see what a St. Bernard and a Dalmatian look like breeded together. I think that's what I'll do. And then would the Dalmatian St. Bernard, would he be able to carry that flask on his neck, that big barrel? Would he be strong enough? Is that what people do, though? Can you breed any two dogs you want now?
I don't know how that works.
Because it's... I know you're playing God. I don't really have a problem with it. I just wonder if, you know, because it seems like Golden Doodle and is it Labradoodle? Because people will do Labradors with poodles,
sure.
Right? Those seem to be the most popular mixed breeds, I think. And I'm just wondering if people have tried, because like, if you, let's say, a Great Dane and a Dalmatian. Would he look like Marmaduke, but have a bunch of spots on him? Is that what he would see? That's what I would be interested to know. If that's what the dog would be like. I'll leave you with this, Tenneby. I think the Vikings with their, they made a, they signed a guy today that was,
yeah,
that was waived, cut because of salary cap, played under Zimmer with the Bungles, Willard Eichela, considered a very good defensive back. Adding him to the fold, we now have the best secondary this franchise has ever had. We still also have the worst offensive line this franchise has ever had. Does that mean a guy like Sindeo or Trey Waynes could be expendable? We might make a trade for an offensive lineman? It remains to be seen.
Or cut salary for an offensive lineman, yeah.
We'll wait. Thanks, Tenneby.
Hey, great job.
You too. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon at the Minnesota State Fair. Hang around. JG next, right here on the Fan.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.